Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Stained Glass, the podcast where we take a look at the lesson that we just had in church and reopen up those files and look at it from a kind of a family perspective. Today, we were in Matthew 16, this really cool story where the Pharisees and the Sadducees challenged Jesus to bring down a sign from heaven to prove his power. And in the context of that story, Jesus says that a wicked and adulterous generation asks for miraculous signs. Mm-hmm. And where we went with it in the lesson today was just the whole idea of being an adulteress, or in the context of the Bible, unfaithful people of God, that sometimes we have a hard time, or we choose not to obey the commands that God has given us. Yeah. Today we talked about the command to be not afraid. But there are plenty of commands that we could talk about throughout the scripture that we really should be making an effort to check ourselves. How are we doing obeying those commands? And there are some that are specifically geared towards the family. So we wanted to look at just a few of those commands today. So let's talk about it. What are some of those central commands, and what are they good for? Why should we obey them?
One of the commands for the family is for wives to submit to their husbands. Now, I know as a 21st century woman, you're capable, you're strong, you're intelligent, and you might shrink back from the idea of submission as though it denotes a sense of a dominant force over a woman. However, I would present this idea in a different manner. Instead, if we look back to creation, we see man and woman in a partnership. When we talk about submission, we are talking about a respect for one's husband, a trust that he will love and respect you back, and a mutual partnership that says, as Christ has given his life for me, I will live my life as he did and give it for you. So it really is a love that looks beyond oneself without completely rejecting the idea that you yourself have value, but trusting in such a partnership that you know the other side's going to be taken care of.
Yeah, and I love that you went all the way back to creation.
Yeah.
Because that picture of that mutuality in that relationship,
yeah,
even though there are differences in the way that they approach life and approach things,
mm-hmm,
that mutuality and that union, yeah, is just so important. And that's the ideal relationship.
Absolutely.
To God. It's the foremost relationship that he, mm-hmm, created. And man, that is just out there. That's crazy. But before, I think, even though in chronological order in the book of Ephesians, which Whitney was referring to, you have the wives submit to your husbands first. The second one, I think, really ought to come first, because I think that it makes a lot of sense. The second command is, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church,
mm-hmm,
and gave himself up for her. Man, that is a self-sacrificial love, a love that is beyond any sort of selfish desire.
Mm-hmm.
It's a love that really puts the family first. So in a sense, what God is saying is husbands really need to earn that trust and that respect of the wife. And boy, that's really, that's difficult to do sometimes.
It's a big call for men.
Mm-hmm. It really is. It's a big call for men. It's a call on their lives. He even says that a husband should love the wife as he loves his own body,
mm-hmm,
Paul says. And he says, man, you know, everybody cares for themselves.
Yeah.
And we should really care for our wives and our children with that same sort of love and desire. So it's a fantastic command. And if you can imagine, if everybody's just trying to outdo each other on that command,
yeah,
to earn trust and to have a mutual trust with one,
sure,
another, if each of the partners is trying to outdo each other in this mutual submission, can you imagine, yeah, what a great relationship that is?
Oh, incredible.
Yeah. So, I mean, this command is for our flourishing. So there's another command, though, that is related to it. It's in Matthew 19.
Sure.
And in some ways, it's a little, maybe even trickier,
yeah,
for us in our day. It's where Jesus says, haven't you read that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife,
mm-hmm,
and the two will become one flesh. And here's the thing. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.
Yeah.
And the fact is, in our day, particularly, divorce happens more and more often. We're more and more comfortable,
yeah,
with divorce. But God is not necessarily all that comfortable with divorce. Not that it isn't tragically necessary sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Absolutely.
That some conditions can happen in a marriage that really break down that marriage, that unfaithfulness can mm-hmm. happen. And not only sexual unfaithfulness, but other kinds of unfaithfulness, yeah. especially if you look at that passage in Ephesians.
Absolutely.
That standard is really high. So divorce happens.
It does.
And it is less a moral failing, I think, of individuals mm-hmm. sometimes than it is, though, a cultural failing and even a failing of the church,
yeah.
where we fail to support and honor and lift up a good marriage in the first place.
And maybe yeah. even a failure of the church to recognize and to really understand these first two commands that we've been talking about submitting to your husband and honoring your wife in mm-hmm. that way, just failing to understand and really know what that means.
Yeah, yeah, that mutual bowing to one another.
Yeah.
But even before the wedding happens, before the I do's, mm-hmm. those days of courtship and those days of counseling.
Yeah.
In the church, it's just really important to get at the nub of those ideas
sure.
so that people go into marriage understanding these concepts.
Oh, absolutely.
Right. So there's that command. But there's another command, and it's kind of maybe fundamental in a family.
Sure.
It's at least the one that comes up a lot. And it's the command that's the fifth commandment, to honor your mother and father. What about that one?
This is one that I think that if we talk about commands in the family, this will be the one that everybody brings up right at the beginning. And honoring your mother and father, it really starts in the household as you model as a parent or as a guardian or whoever you might be, how you model how you honor your parents and how you honor the leaders in your life and the mentors in your life. Because we can't expect kids to really understand, respect, and honor before we show it to them and before we really mold it around what Christ wants us to do and how he explains that.
Yeah, and there are some anti-honor your mother and father images out there in the media, do you think?
There really is, yeah. yeah.
Where it makes it a little hard because sometimes the images of a father or a mother that are seen in the media and elsewhere, man, they're not always all that respect-worthy
yeah.
or praiseworthy.
Yeah.
And that really is the nub. It's a little bit like the commandment of between a husband and a wife.
Sure.
I mean, no one's going to earn your children's respect just by standing there with a tag on your forehead that says dad,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
You got to earn it by being trustworthy mm-hmm. and by making sure that, you know, you have the best interest of your family and your children at heart.
Exactly.
But all of those things being in place, we should then honor our mother and father, even if it's difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as in this example of divorce, sometimes things are just not ideal.
Yeah.
And that happens. I mean, sometimes we have parents that maybe have done things that aren't worthy of respect.
Exactly. And parents can fail because they're humans and they can fall short in big things or small things. And that's just unfortunately how the world works because we don't live in a perfect world. We live in a fallen world. But there are these times where parents really do fail and sometimes in really big, devastating ways. I heard a story the other day about a woman who's now, I believe, in her 70s. But when she was young, growing up, her father sexually abused her almost her whole life. And it was just so tragic to hear. But she said something. She said, "I realized when I got older, even though I didn't necessarily feel like they deserved it, that God really wanted me to honor them by taking care of them, by looking beyond the stuff that they did, although we don't completely disregard what they did, but looking beyond that and to honor them by giving them that respect and that love that God asked her to give." And it was really moving to hear that she could overcome those things that have happened to her in order to honor her parents. And we honor others, especially our parents, not necessarily because they have to do everything right and have done everything right, but because we honor God when we do so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to remember that honoring in a true sense of the word is different than dutifully honoring. We honor not because we have to, but because we believe that no matter the past of someone, they are worthy, just like us, for salvation. And when we honor them, we open up that door to salvation. So it's really important to truly honor them.
Yeah, and you think of this poor woman who lived with us her entire life.
Mm-hmm.
It's tragic, but at the same time, I'm sure that in honoring God's command to honor mm-hmm. her parents, that was healed in her. that pain, yeah. I'm sure, was healed to some extent.
Absolutely.
That she was able to overcome that. Yeah. It was huge. You know, it reminds me really of all these commands, especially when they have to do with our relations with other people. Come down to that first big command of Jesus in John 15, where he says to love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah.
And certainly, God loves us when we are awful to him, mm-hmm. when we disregard him, when we dishonor him. Mm-hmm. And he proved with his actions on the cross that he loves us even when we don't deserve it. But he honored God mm-hmm. by honoring that command to go to the cross for us. Mm-hmm. So we want to honor God as best we can by honoring his commands.
Mm-hmm. And remember that great command is the foundation of the church. And when we're teaching our children to love and honor us, we aren't doing it for us necessarily, but for Christ and the church. Mm-hmm. We're modeling how Christ wants us to live and how he wants us to teach our children to live as well. In Psalm 19, 8 through 10, it says, "The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb." So it's really important to remember that these commands that God gives us, these rules that God gives us, they are good. They mm-hmm. are right. And he knows what is good for us and what is right. So even when we don't necessarily feel like we understand why we should be holding that, you know, command up, we still honor God with that because we know that what he's saying is true and right.
Absolutely. His commands are good. I mean, they're made for our flourishing so
yes,
that we can prosper and he can work out his plan mm-hmm. in our lives. And when we take them to heart, even when we do fail to uphold them all the time, we can always do it remembering that God is really, he's tough. He can handle it when we confess the
exactly.
things that we have been unable to uphold. But also that he is so good to give us the ability to carry out these commands when our desire is there.
Yeah.
He will give us the ability. And that's where it really gets interesting, being in partnership, in a life partnership with God through Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah. So cool. Thank you all for being here, and we'll come back next week, okay?
Yeah, we absolutely will.
All right. We'll see you then.
See you
Bye-bye.
Then. Bye-bye.